Senior Focus. Welcome, everyone. I'm Anne-Marie Khoury, and I'm your presenter for this edition of Senior Focus. And our topic today is about the greening of our environment, how it impacts on our well-being. And we've got a lot of examples and situations that are being experimented with or changed, and we're going to talk about those. And I have with me in the studio our resident guest, but certainly our favourite guest, Alex Bonham from Waitemata Local Board. And Alex, welcome.
Thank you.
And thank you for coming in. And because there are these facilities and changes going on in the central city, it seems appropriate to have you talk about them. And I realise you're not speaking for the board, but this is partly about your interest in well-being and nurturing people's health and bringing about positive environments. So, welcome.
Thank you so much. And I am now a PhD in play in the city, so I'm wearing that hat today.
Oh, very excellent. Thank you for adding to your biography there and biographical detail. Congratulations. It's very exciting.
Thank you.
And yes, we will do some further look at playgrounds and play and creativity. But today, I'm just wanting to headline an issue that's been in the Herald this week and just say it's worthwhile keeping an eye out for what's happening with the proposed water care plant in Glenbrook at the beach. 6 years ago, there was a plant proposed for Oratia in the west, and the community rose up and they said no way, they weren't going to have it. 18 homes were going to be destroyed, and a number of rural properties were going to have to be invaded. So, as a compromise, Watercare had a look at their property in Titirangi and decided that they would add on to what they already had there. It was a lot cheaper. It saved, quite a few million, and it saved all those people having to vacate their homes. In this instance, it's not so much about vacating homes, but it's about the water quality in the harbour, in the Manukau Harbour, and there are a number of people who are very concerned about the cost of the land that Watercare has purchased for this exercise, and they oppose it on several grounds, and they don't they don't really want it in Glenbrook, but they also know that the steel mill in Glenbrook is using about 20,000 litres of fresh water every day. They could actually use the recycled water once it's treated, and that would actually save Auckland City quite a lot of dollars. So they're actually asking quite a number of economic questions about this plant. Submissions close on the 13th of November. I won't have time to do a program in depth on this, so I'm just signalling this is a hot issue. If you put Watercare proposed plant at Glenbrook into Google, you will find a number of references. You will find the Herald article that was in this week. You'll also find Jim Jackson and the community respondents who are leading the challenge on this. You'll find their material and their arguments, and you can also go to Watercare's own site and have a look. So there's plenty to do. We can't go into it in more detail at the moment, but we will be watching and following the issue. So Alex, I was going to ask you to give us your ideas about greening of the city and to focus on the areas that you're familiar with.
Yes, pretty much everybody appreciates green space. You know, whether they live in an apartment or a lifestyle block, green space makes us feel so much happier. It's really good for our well-being. And then there are all the eco-services, I think that's the name, that green space and trees do in cooling the streets, in purifying the air. And we have air pollution problems, particularly in central Auckland, but across the city in various hotspots. And in some ways, we are far behind the World Health Organization's recommended levels of pollutants. So green space and trees and plantings make a massive difference. And we did a diversity in parks review, which led to a report which the local board adopted quite recently. And we discovered that quite a lot of seniors and ethnic communities and vulnerable communities all quite enjoy getting their hands dirty in the parks and wanted permission to do a bit more gardening. So I thought it might be useful to just share that there are opportunities already there, and parks teams across Auckland are very open to setting up Friends of the Parks organisations so that you can get more involved in your local park. Where you might start at the moment, if you really love roses, is the Nancy Steen Heritage Rose Garden in Parnell in Dovemire Robinson Park. They are beautiful roses in there. It's of national significance, I think, for roses. If this sounds like your bag, you're not left to just sort of get on with it without support. You will be with some people who have extraordinary experience. It's a great way to meet other people without feeling that pressure of being forced to socialise and getting outside and getting in a beautiful garden and upping your skills at the same time. So if you're interested in that, you can email them at nancysteengarden@gmail.com. If you're more interested in vegetables and edibles, then Kelmana Community Garden is a fantastic place in Herne Bay. And they have lots of volunteer opportunities. People help do the harvesting, they help in the shop, and they have a lot of volunteer programs where you can be trained up in organic gardening. And I did that earlier this year, and it was so worthwhile, and I'm becoming much better in my own garden too. But once you've been trained up, you are very welcome to go back and volunteer. And if unlike me, I had pretty well no gardening experience, but if you are an experienced gardener, they would love your help straight away. So you can find them at hello@kelmana.co.nz, or you can go to their shop and buy seeds and vegetables. If you like to be in a beautiful place but not do so much hard work, you are also very welcome to just come by. And then we have people in Greylin Park who came to the local board wanting to do a meadow. We'd been mowing the sides of our parks and in those ride-on mowers. And when it gets wet, we were just sort of grinding up the earth, and it was almost hazardous to try and mow up these slopes. So a decision was made to just trial turning it into a bit of a wildflower meadow. And it's just lovely, and that was totally community-led. And we have one other guy who's down in Freeman's Bay. His name is Mark van Karthoven, and you can find him on the Watercare website, actually. He has some of the lowest water bills in the country because he diverts his downwater pipes to water his garden. His house is surrounded by plants. But he got involved in the local park, Freeman's Bay Park, and uses huge amounts of mulch. And as a result, the garden is really good at retaining water when it floods, but also in drought time. So it's just a beautiful place with, you know, really supports biodiversity, self-seeding plants. And if he gets a plant there that he doesn't really want long term, he just gives it a tug out. But otherwise, nature takes care of itself with a bit of water and a bit of mulch. So, and he also, as a community member, came along with the Residents Association for the support of the local board, and we were delighted to support him in this project.
Wow. Well, there's a lot of food for thought there. I was thinking of some of the groups that do restoring forests in the North Shore area, and I was thinking of some of the boards right behind these kind of developments where the community gets involved with the environment. And in fact, Auckland has got so many issues, if you like, around the need for weeding, the need for pest control, and they haven't got, there's not the money in council to do this, to pay people to do it. So it really does depend on volunteers. And I'm sure that any listeners that get in touch with their local board will find that there's more than enough activities that they could be involved in.
Absolutely right. And if you have a look on the Auckland Council website, it can list a number of opportunities. So you can just go along to a one-off event of weeding or planting or pest scrapping, or you can take a longer commitment. It's totally up to you. But yeah, we really, really value and appreciate volunteers.
So just thinking about the research into how important green zones are in our environment, and blue zones too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
very much so. You know, water parks is another phrase that I've heard recently, but blue zones include not just lakes and creeks, but also the nearby foreshore or the harbour. So looking at blue zones and green zones together, the health of these environments and the density of them in relation to how much green space there is compared with how much built-up space there is. This is a very important part of determining the overall health of the environment. So yes, the water, the air pollution and the water pollution are very critical factors, but there's something more too. It's the visual amenity, the cooling impact. It's not just feeling a cool breeze on your skin because the trees are there, but it's also just looking at greenery, taking and absorbing that green colour through your eyes. It is very cooling and very soothing on the brain.
Yeah, it's really important, you know. And if we are intensifying our cities, it has to be done in a way that allows us to see green and blue zones, yeah, as often as possible. It makes such a difference.
A piece of research done in 16 European cities by Sir Michael Marmot, and he was knighted after he did the work, I might add, by the Queen. But, you know, he transformed East London. But he first did the research on these 16 cities, and he actually worked out the ratio of blue-green spaces to the built-up areas, what really made a difference in terms of health and well-being. How far do you have to go? How much greenery do you have to have? And how can you do it in certain places? I mean, sometimes if you don't have the open space to start with, then greening roofs and is your next best option. But through his research, he proved the value in terms of improved health outcomes and improved social communication and connection amongst people, and lowered violence and lowered crime. So he proved a lot of the benefits that accrue positively to the whole community as a whole that come from just having these amenity values of the green and blue spaces. that this can be actually quantified and it can be scientifically modelled and it can be measured.
Mm.
And I think this was quite groundbreaking that it was done in 16 European cities, and it was comprehensive. It took quite a few years, but it became the landmark piece of research for urban design.
Oh, interesting. I didn't know. Marmot.
Yes.
Cool.
M-A-M-O-T.
Okay. Thank you.
And I think it was when that research came out about 8 years ago that groups that were trying to move Auckland forward and have a more long-term focus for Auckland that was positive, we're actually wanting to draw on that. So I found it was really useful to bring it into submissions and so on.
Yeah, I think Morgan Williams did a very good report in New Zealand of a similar sort of nature.
At a similar time, yes, indeed. Now what we're finding is that people are focusing on positive ageing because we've got a growing ageing population, and those people doing research on positive ageing are actually finding that in urban environments it becomes extremely important that older people have access to green space, that they can actually walk in these spaces, that they can use mobility assistance if necessary, that the spaces are accessible, and that they can enjoy them with other members of the community or family, and that they are near really important amenities like shops, transport, recreational opportunities and so on. They're not a big park that you have to go miles to reach.
Well, that's right. There's a place for those wonderful regional parks, and also places like the Domain, those destination parks. But you want to just have parks not far away from you wherever you live in the city. And I think that's why we're quite excited about Ponsonby Park coming to be, because it's in the middle of the shopping area and you don't have to go very far, and it's right next to a bus stop as well. So you just end up spending far more of your time in a really lovely environment, you know, just part of your daily life, and that makes such a difference. London is a bit of an exemplar place. You know, you walk through it and it's little park after park, square after park. And even though, a lot of it's 6, 7, sometimes 30, whatever, stories, you're never very far from a green space, and it makes a huge difference. You have a sense of human scale and well-being. You don't feel overwhelmed by the city in the way that you are in some other cities where there's more concrete. So it's nice to see that happening here.
So the Ponsonby Park is a really interesting concept, and I thought it would be really good for those people who don't know about it. It is on the main drag, it is on Ponsonby Road. Just how it's come about and what stage it's at now that so many things are challenged funding-wise that are in the plans that you have.
Well, it has been a long journey for the community who have really led the process here for Ponsonby Park. But they also had an advantage in that there was a bequest for the benefit of people in the area. And it was particularly, I think, for young people. And, you know, the idea was that it would be a green space and a civic square. So we were limited by the terms of the bequest with what we could do with that money, because, of course, with COVID budgets and other budgets, there's this desire, great, let's take that money. But no, the bequest has been very clear. So we have got a certain amount of money, and we've decided not to go over that budget and get something done that is beautiful, that people will really enjoy. So it's a civic square in the first half, and it's where the Liquorland and what was Nosh and then became Farrow. It's that site. So the building is going to go, But we're going to still have that canopy that currently is over the car parks. But it's going to be redesigned with skylights. And there's going to be lots of seating and planter boxes. So, and there's going to be a wooden frame, which is very interesting, which is going to be covered with vines. It's going to be a bit of a nature area in the first half. But all sorts of activities can take place there. And then the back part of the park is a lawn with places to sit and trees around the outside. So you can lie on the grass on a lovely day and have your picnic. Or you can do all sorts of events and have a band maybe performing underneath the canopy to have a little mini festival. So it'll be a place where you can do so many different things. And hopefully, well, it should do, I have been assured that there will be power on the site and really pretty lighting. So whatever time of day you're there, it will feel inviting and safe. So that was key for us too.
Mm. So when do you think people are going to be able to enjoy the park? When will it be open?
Oh, goodness, I should have prepared better. But I know that we're going to get the detailed designs in a couple of months, I think. And the view is to get started on construction in the first half of next year. And
So it really could be something we enjoy at Easter.
I think the construction will start in the first half of next year. So
we can enjoy watching
its progress.
Next spring.
Yeah, maybe the one after that. Maybe Christmas, that would be amazing. But there's no real buildings that are going up there. Mm. So it's an outdoor space. So, yeah, I will let you know the timings and maybe you can add that to your notes.
Yes, it will be very exciting. We definitely want to know. So we can go down and be part of the celebration.
Oh, for sure.
Now, another piece of greenery that's happening, which is a first, actually, first for New Zealand, and that is making the benefits of green space become available to patients in a hospital, because we don't have currently anything of this nature on this scale in any hospital in our country. But we are getting a piece of green that will be inside the new buildings that are part of the North Shore Hospital redevelopment project. And I gather that this is something in the tune of the target is $2 million, and they've fundraised the $1 million already. And Rotary is doing the bulk of this fundraising.
Oh, good.
No health funds are going into it, but it is solely based on the research internationally that says access to greenery in hospitals not only encourages relaxation and reduces stress for the patients, but it can help speed up the recovery and improve the clinical outcomes. It can also help the stress of those people who are visiting the patients.
Yeah.
And it can also, in some instances, produce a decrease in the medication that patients are on.
Oh, wow. Wow, yeah.
Particularly in terms of pain relief.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense, but it's sort of extraordinary that research backs that up too.
Yes, so there's quite a lot of research internationally supporting this kind of move. And there have, of course, been, in many instances, efforts to make healing gardens that surround hospitals or places for surgery or clinics or just treatment sites generally. So people do try to incorporate greenery because they know that it has this impact. They know it lifts the patients and the staff. But nobody's done anything on this scale in New Zealand before. This is a total first. So I was going to say watch the space, but
Watch
the screen space. Watch the screen space, yes. And if anyone's interested in looking into donating, the website is giveabitofgreen.co.nz, and the Well Foundation is the project organiser, but it's sponsored by Rotary New Zealand. So that means could be donations coming in really from around the whole country.
Yeah, no, that's fantastic. I mean, I guess Auckland City Hospital and the one in Green Lane are both adjacent to the Domain in Cornwall Park.
Yes, they have.
Respectively, so they've had a bit of a natural advantage. But, yeah, without that, gosh, how?
Well, North Shore does have the lake, Lake Pupuki. And the thing about North Shore is the cardio unit, the cardio wing, looks, all the suites look out on the lake. And it's particularly restful and relaxing. So they have already used a blue zone to impact on patient well-being. But this is a different initiative and a different part of the site.
Yeah.
This is the part of the site that's quite away from the water. So it doesn't have the views and things. So this is focusing internally and creating the green indoors.
Yeah. Well, that just sounds wonderful.
Mm.
One of the other projects, to jump slightly back to my Ponsonby Road,
yes,
is the Lees Institute. And one of the changes that seems to be made to the design is a glass wall pretty much on the western side. You'll be able to see across to the Waitakere's there, but also ultimately to have a garden outside. So you have a really lovely space, very keen on having a little kitchenette in there so you can make yourself a cup of tea, find a good book, settle in, or put your laptop down and get your work done. But you've got this beautiful vista as well, so it should be a very calming and welcoming place to be. So the boarders have sort of approved us moving forward on that too, so that's just fantastic. And with spring just around everywhere, I think just enjoying the green spaces that we've got so much at the moment. My little girl was so upset because the cherry blossom had all gone and leaves had replaced the flowers, and she felt quite put out by that. But I found it amazing how much she loves gardens as well, and it's such a great way of connecting up different generations. It's with the beautiful gardens that we've got.
Yes, and this week I attended a seminar put together by the Community Development Organisation for the North Shore, ANCAD, and it was focusing on positive ageing. And Professor Nairi Kurse from Auckland University was presenting on some of the aspects of urban design and how they impact on seniors' well-being. And she was focusing on green space. She said it's the number one thing if you're looking to move into any kind of new environment in your older age. You need to be mindful of how much green space is around, how easy it is to access, and there's now a new planning tool that you can use to actually go and investigate. So if you're looking into a retirement village, if you're looking at moving into a new suburb, you can go and investigate an area and use this tool to measure the accessibility, the amount of green space, the layout, how practical is it, how easy is it to access what you need to get to your healthcare, to get to your supermarket and so on. So I haven't seen the tool and I haven't used it, but that will be the subject of a future program as well. Yes, it was a fascinating week so far with all the things that have come together to help feed into our future programming. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
And we'll look forward to some more sharing.
Sounds good to me.
And to our audience, thank you very much, and we'll be with you again next week.
Get together. Together with Senior Focus next Sunday at 5:25 p.m. on Planet FM 104.6 or listen online at any time at planetaudio.org.nz/Senior Focus, and do note Senior Focus is one word.